Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. Happy Memorial Day, and welcome back to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. This is a special episode that we like to call Wait What?
Wait What?
What?
Great job, you guys.
Thank you.
We got recall.
Yeah. Here with...
I pressed my button.
I know, you guys my remember something button. We did 2 months ago.
Sure do.
As always, here with Casey Balsham.
Hi, guys.
Danny Murphy.
Hey.
I'm Sarah Levine.
Hi, Sarah.
Thank
Hi, Sarah.
You. No one ever says hi back to me.
In life or so just on much. This? Or just a little bit of both?
Both.
She breaks down into tears.
I wanted to play a game that I just made up in my head just now. It's not necessarily so much of a game, but like, okay, we're talking about a very famous serial killer today. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to start off by saying, what's the most like Seinfeld-esque innocuous reason that you've called someone a serial killer? So I'll go first.
Okay.
Anytime a guy texts me good morning, I'm like, oh my god, you're a serial killer.
Yeah. Danny, do you have one?
I feel like whenever I like when I'm in an Uber pool and I'm gonna get dropped off, and they're like, no, we'll drop you off to like when it's supposed to be like a block away, they're like, no, we'll take you, and like I think they're being nice, but I'm like, no, you're coming to kill me.
Oh my god, I feel like I say it almost like every other hour. I mean, obviously, as you guys know, my fear with pigeons, anybody that feeds birds, serial killer.
Oh, that's probably
you sit in Central Park with old bread, serial killer.
That actually,
I could see that being scientifically accurate. Let's call up like the NIH or whatever and get a full study.
We love
study
acronyms
done.
That we don't know here.
National Institute of Health.
Oh, girl, is okay.
Takes one science class.
Asterisk tastes one science class. Tastes it, I said. Thank you so much.
We're doing great. Cool. So
I feel like because I'm doing McDonald's iced coffee, I feel like, does everyone like that?
I mean, I didn't judge you for it.
Whenever I bring it to places, because it is like some of the best iced coffee ever, people it's are great. Always like, what? That they give me a weight.
I mean, it's
that.
Really cheap. It's like what, a dollar for
what
like
dollar?
A vat of iced coffee that you can swim in.
Yeah,
no, truly dunk into. Yeah.
They actually, you know, I will say since I've switched to iced tea, because I was always an iced coffee drinker. Now I'm an iced tea drinker.
What made the switch?
I was just trying to do less caffeine and less of my guts feeling like they were on fire.
Yeah, that's
most
my current
of the time.
Moment, yeah,
seems fair.
Yeah, but McDonald's I think only has one size of iced tea, and it's like the one that's the size of your head.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so.
So you just have to lean in.
Yeah, I have to lean in real hard, get real hopped
or be
up.
Near a bathroom.
Very jittery.
Yeah, just
that
pee
great.
Every second of the day. But that's not, I mean, that doesn't make me a serial killer, right?
I don't think so.
Urination is normal.
Some people would think that drinking McDonald's coffee makes you a serial killer.
Well, people think black coffee is like
black coffee is a serial killer.
I only drink black coffee.
Because it tastes gross, like objectively bad.
Like I like the taste of coffee, but I still need to put a little.
Yeah, because I like myself.
Yeah.
No, you got to put in some like half
sometimes
and half.
Sometimes killing people is fun. Like, I don't know.
You're right.
You know
I mean, yes.
I was like, sorry.
You know, back and forth of that.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny that you said that because we're talking about Ted Bundy today. And
woof.
Here's why. He like goes on this thing in his ex-girlfriend's or former girlfriend's, I guess, memoir about how like sometimes he just gets this urge to like kill people, which I mean, I get sometimes like I totally understand it, but I don't actually. It's not an urge that I can't escape.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or it's more so I think you're like, ugh, eye roll type
of situation.
Yeah,
it's not like, oh,
like,
it's
ugh,
this. Yeah, literally, it's not like, oh, I have this force that is compelling me to do this that I can't stop, which is kind of what he said.
Yeah.
And this woman, Liz Klepfer, wrote about it in her memoir.
Yep. And it was, sorry.
No, what were you going
to
say?
I was just going to say it was interesting that this memoir didn't get as popular, like, I think I read that
it didn't
get popular, and then the publisher went out of business, so they just stopped making. But I'm like, this woman lived with Ted Bundy.
I know. I want to buy it now.
Poo-poo it.
If this someone should republish it now because it would like
I'm
sell
sure
like
sure that it's already like in the works because of how popular.
How does
Ted
Netflix
Bundy
not have like a publishing company now? That's my question.
Oh, that's genius.
You know what I mean? And then B, also, I had no clue that this movie going into it was based on this memoir either. I feel like no one
a
really
lot of
talked
people
about
didn't
that
know
because
it's also not the same title.
No.
Yeah.
But actually, the title was actually a full-on quote from the judge.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
So to back up for you guys who were like, Wait, what?
Wait, what?
We're talking about extremely wicked, shockingly vile, and evil. I hope I got that right. All the adjectives I kind of put in just a random Mad Libs order.
Sounds good. It sounded really good.
Yeah, I'm not going to doubt it. Yes.
In any case, it's like the Ted Bundy movie that Zac Efron plays Ted Bundy. And it's on Netflix now. It's kind of fictionalized, but it is based off of this memoir called The Phantom Prince, My Life with Ted Bundy by Liz Klepfer, who was his like long-term girlfriend. He lived with her and her daughter.
I know.
Alarm bells. So that's what they based the movie off of. And I think it was interesting because it was directed by Joe Berlinger, who also directed the Ted Bundy tapes, which are also on Netflix.
So he had some inside.
So he might be a serial killer because he knows a lot about Ted Bundy.
He sure does.
Yeah, the film initially premiered at Sundance and then later was acquired by Netflix, and it was available in May, I think, on Netflix. So that's when I watched it.
Yeah, and I guess it's had mixed reviews because the director decided not to actually put violence in it.
Yeah.
He said that he really thought that the nuances of the of his actual character and his personality and his relationships were a little bit more interesting. And
I mean, I guess,
this is when you realize directors are pretty weird, because it's like, you know what I mean? If you're going to when like putting on a movie about a serial killer, you're expecting to like see the serial killer be a serial killer and not like slow dance to a jukebox type of situation.
I feel like there's something to be said for not going into violence porn and making it graphic, but they didn't even talk about the violence. That's what bothered me.
No.
Was like, they really didn't mention it at all. And it's kind of like, that's the whole thing. What do you even mean?
Yeah. I mean, and I wonder if it's just because it was based on the book and since she didn't see and he never actually confessed any murders to her, he just kind of said this sentence of just, I have something inside of me, and it was just too hard to control. But maybe that it comes from that he was really trying to stay true to this book where it was just about life with Ted.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, fucking boring.
Because I guess there was parts of it that you wouldn't really understand. Like, I would never seek out to read about Ted Bundy's time at law school. Do you know such? Because I mean, like,
fair.
There's a lot of other things that are so much more important about him, or like more, not
like
more
the serial killing.
Yeah, I'm like, why? He's not just known as like, oh, he almost got his JD. So maybe because the director kind of did the Ted Bundy, he's kind of wants to do like a full coverage story of him.
Yeah,
and also
then
I guess if you're like, you got Zac Efron, you got to do something with it. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, I did read that. So I think a lot of people, I mean, myself included, kind of like criticized the movie for romanticizing Ted Bundy. And the director kind of said that was a purposeful choice to show you all like how charming he could be. And it's meant to make you sympathize with him because people actually did that.
Well, that's what, and that was like crazy, like kind of seeing into it. And it's interesting too, right after we did Jodi Arias last week, of seeing like, oh yeah, this is kind of a trend that happens with so many of these high profile cases, people going to want to like marry him, love him, like idolize him. And like it would be like in the movie there were flocks of girls going like to the courthouse to like root for him.
He had groupies, like truly did.
I was watching this when I was reading about how a lot of the dialogue from the judge was real. The stuff that Billy Bob,
John Malkovich.
What did you call him?
John Lithgow.
We're doing great.
You know,
we are not IMDb. So John Malkovich, except for they said the one line that John Malkovich actually improvised was when the girls were cheering for him in the courtroom and he said something. He's like, this is not the something about like a concert. He's like, this is not, you're not watching the frenzy something like that, that he actually improvised during that, but a lot of his lines
pretty
were
good.
But yeah, because all the girls were acting like this was that Ted Bundy was like
Beatles.
John Mayer.
Mm-hmm. The Beatles.
I think John Mayer is probably more likely to be a
single
Beatle.
John Malkovich has serial killer eyes for sure.
I don't trust Johns.
Just don't trust him. It's a good rule of thumb, I guess.
Don't trust Johns.
But how did you guys think all the actors did in the movie? I mean, I thought Zac Efron obviously did like a really good job. I don't think that people were fair to like come at him for taking the role, which I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, I didn't get why people. Yeah, a lot of people were saying it's like, how dare you glorify this? But I'm like, every like,
he didn't
cop,
do it.
Yeah,
he the writers was just and director did. I feel like,
an actor, and he was like, why would he turn down this role that would make him a ton of money on Netflix type of situation?
Yeah,
and also it's like so many shows and movies now are about murders, either actual ones or fictionalized ones.
Yeah, murder's hot right now.
That's kind of like
we're all hot right now.
Yeah,
so hot. Right
I feel
now.
Like it does. It spikes up in the summer too.
That is true.
People are upset because it smells.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, I feel like I didn't have an issue with anyone taking the role, but I did have an issue with how bad Lily Collins was
at her
role. I like her in general, but But this, I'm just like,
I wasn't bothered by it. Why did you think she was so bad?
Because I'm like, she's British, right? But like, she's not.
Is she?
Isn't she?
Oops.
I don't know. Is she?
Is Phil Collins British?
You know?
Fuck.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, wait. Right, yeah. Lily Pell. That's right. She's Phil Collins'
Spawn. I'm like, you can't.
Yeah. She's, I think she, I think she's British, but I think she's got like, I think they're like barely an accent British, you know?
I know. Well, that was in the States. No, but it's just kind of like, I feel like there was no major, like, she just, I feel like there's so many layers and complexity to the character that she was playing. And so much of her portrayal of her was just kind of like sighing and like sitting on different parts of it. And it, I mean, on the flip side, it also could have been because of the director, like not choosing to like really explore this character storyline as much as they should have, which is kind of ironic because it's based on a book that she wrote.
Right.
Because there were just parts where she'd be like, and drink a bottle of wine.
I know. I feel like it just, it was less Lily Collins and more what she was given, because she either just wavered between like drinking and being in an alcohol spiral or just like crying and being sad.
Yeah.
Like, and they didn't really give her much room.
And never showed her really interacting one-on-one with her kid that much about what's going on. And that's what I thought, because I thought that was one of the more interesting, I mean, about, if we're not going to get to the murders of what he did, kind of like, okay, well, then he essentially raised this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is she thinking about all this? And what is her mom, Lily Collins' character, thinking about what to tell her about this or what to teach her, kind of stuff like that? And I feel like that was a major blip that they
could've. That's a weird birds and the bees talk. Like, how do you explain that to your kid?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oof. Hopefully I never have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I think Zach was, I think he's just proven himself to be kind of out of that childhood, you know, actor thing. I mean, mm-hmm. he had his like weird party days, and I think he then just got like super buff and got really serious about acting, and you know, I chose.
Yeah,
I'm into it. I mean, I like Zac Efron.
Me too. I always have, even the high school version.
Although I recently found out that wasn't him singing in High School Musical.
That wasn't?
No, but someone told me that. No. I'm like, this is very upsetting.
I know.
Yeah. Someone told me that wasn't him singing. Was it you, Danny?
No, but I love to start shit, so I'll take it. Great. No, I'm just like, yeah, Zach.
Well, I think tell Lily Collins
you don't sing, and she's like, no.
Yeah, come honest. Be honest with your singing skills.
Yeah, but he does have a good voice. So I'm surprised
he does.
That. Yeah.
Who's the real singer then?
I don't remember. I'll have to find out and report back. I know. That's the true crime.
I mean, speaking of kind of like LOLs of this cast too, I mean, how much like my jaw, because I didn't read who was in it before.
Yep.
When Haley Joel Osment comes onto the scene and it's just like this like quirky guy eating like peanut butter sandwiches. And I was like, okay.
I was not prepared. He looked like every guy that works at your local CVS. I was not ready.
Yeah. He's had some changes go on in his life.
Yes.
Yep. He has some.
He does not look like that kid from Secondhand Lions.
Yeah, or that's so funny. Or what we grew up with, Sixth Sense. As the older kids at the table say, that movie where he was dead, or everybody else was dead. He was alive, right? Spoiler alert! If you haven't seen,
I was going to say, how dare you spoil it? Dead.
Okay, but no, yeah, Haley Joel Osment was really, but he's kind of making a comeback because he was also in something else really big.
Yes.
Was it another? It was another like miniseries.
It was
or something, because he played that oil tie, or he played. Yeah, look it up.
I remember he was in something that I was like, this is his year, I guess.
Yeah,
and also because he was really good in the movie.
Yeah,
also,
I mean, he was fine.
Like we said before, like this is just what's happening. Like if you were an actor in the '90s or the '80s, like you can like just chill for 5 years and you can come back. Like,
yes,
stop trying to push the career. Like you're going to make a comeback. They're all making a comeback. They're remaking 90210. Like everybody's going
to
be fine.
Are you talking
fine.
About Dead to Me? Because I just finished it.
It's so good, right?
So good. Yeah. So this good. Is actually not a sponsored episode by
and
Dead
also
to Me.
For that person that said it sounded like we were doing an ad for Dead to Me.
And we were.
That's why we
did it work?
Yeah. So we started the episode saying this is sponsored by Netflix. Anyway, I digress. But it's a good show. You should watch it.
And then we didn't get paid. I know. That really is all just people from Blast from the Past. Good for Netflix.
Yeah.
Right. They're killing it.
It really is. Same with like Riverdale. Remember, like, I felt like all the adults, I mean, R.I.P. Luke Perry, but all the adults were from, like, the 90s. Like,
oh, yeah. Molly, like, Ringwald.
Molly Ringwald.
Mark Consuelos.
Even Mark Consuelos has been around for a while. So it was, like, kind of a nice little nod to, like, our teeny bopper people with their teeny. Like, I don't know.
True,
I
just
kind
of like, it's like every people getting just, they're giving awakenings to so many generations of people.
Yes, they are.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, I mean, I feel like we could talk about Netflix forever, yes. But let's actually talk about Ted Bundy a little bit, because I know we've gotten so many DMs and we could still do a full episode on Ted Bundy, but we're just, I don't know, we just kind of want to test the waters, talk about this movie, because like we could do an entire, I mean, like, yeah, I feel like if we tried to do Ted Bundy, we'd have to talk about all the documentaries, so we might as well just start with that first. So Ted was born November 24th, 1946 in Burlington, Vermont. He had an extensive juvenile record for theft that was dismissed when he was 18. And this is per crimemuseum.org, hopefully a legit source. It's .org, so I felt like it was legit.
Actually, yeah, no, I trust that.
The Crime Museum. Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, so we're just going to skip ahead until the real shit. He confessed to 36 brutal murders in the 70s. And there was this like 5-year reign when he was just terrorizing colleges and people didn't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
To put it mildly.
Yeah.
His earliest confirmed victim was in 1974. And he would just prey on college women in the states where he lived. So Washington, then Utah, then Colorado, finally Florida, when he was like escaping prison in Florida.
That was one of the times.
Yeah,
one of
fucking
them,
insane.
Yeah.
And what he would do was he would use a ruse, usually a cast or crutches or have his arm in a sling. And he'd have victims carry books or unload items from his car. And so once they would get in the car, he'd hit them over the head with a crowbar or a pipe, then handcuff them, force them into the car in the passenger seat, which he actually removed the seat so that these people would just be like lying there lifeless and go undetected while he would just drive around like a fucking maniac.
Of his Volkswagen Beetle, by the way. It's like, if you're going to be a serial killer, get a Civic, man. If you're going to serial kill in a Beetle, like that's a pretty recognizable car.
I bet that was pretty bad
car.
PR for them.
Yeah. That's maybe that's why they turned it into that. Maybe that. No, they went sleeker later on.
They did,
but still,
yeah.
I don't know.
But it's still, it is kind of crazy. It's like, might
it's
as
like
well have been driving
like a PT Cruiser.
Yeah, like
a red PT
like
Cruiser.
A tricycle and being like, oh, I swear it's just a regular trike. It's not a murder trike. It's like pretty identifiable.
But didn't a lot of people own a Beetle back then? Or
probably.
No? I don't really
I don't
know.
But it just seems still like a car.
I mean, it seems a little silly because the Beetle is kind of like a silly car. Like, it's fun.
It does. It's a clown car.
Yeah,
it's
kind of like
what they use for the clown cars.
Yeah, it's not a scary vehicle, but maybe that was part of the ruse.
I was just going to think maybe it's because it's a gentle. Because
if you're driving around in a murder van, like, you're not going to get in.
That's true.
Because
if
assume.
You just like, have like a broken hand with like a Beetle, you're just like, oh, this
yeah, but if you
have
like a hatchback Nissan, you know, I'd be like, oh, this guy's like me.
Or one of those, like, what's the word? Oh, my God. The cars that have a station wagon that has like the seats backwards in the back.
Oh, I miss those cars.
They're like such 1970s murder cars to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. In any case, very dark trigger warning. Bundy would typically strangle or bludgeon his victims. Then he would mutilate their bodies after death, which is the grossest part. And also he would return to the dump sites. Here was the craziest part that I read after the documentary that I was like, what the fuck? In some cases, he would sleep with the bodies or display their decapitated heads in his apartment.
Yeah.
Like, what? That was the point that I actually got mad by this movie. I was like, this person was not just killing people. He was defiling their corpses, which is another level of vile.
Yeah.
Shockingly vile. And I'm like, oh, and we're making him seem like this nice, charming guy. Even if he was, it's like, yeah, that's a valid story to tell, but is it the one that we need to tell right now?
In the documentary, they treated him like he was the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, where he would like do like fold laundry and then run out at night to do what they had to do. And like, I'm like, no,
quirky.
He's not going out and just like killing someone and coming back and like tucking to bed. He's like truly torturing these people to death.
Yeah.
And then after death, disgracing them. And
which is gross.
So
I mean, he decapitated
disgusting.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He took off their heads.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
Oh, that ending in the movie.
Yeah, that was crazy. So he did confess to 36 murders, but it's believed that he killed about 100 women, which, holy fuck, is a lot. And he was executed via electric chair in 1989.
And then was reincarnated as Taylor Swift.
What?
Wait,
well, just because she left 1989.
Do we believe in... Do you guys...
I was like, what?
Do you believe that... in the death penalty for something like this, or do you think like this guy should have brought, or is it at a certain point after you escape jail,
he escaped prison twice?
Okay,
so
yeah, fucking kill him.
It's one of those things too where it's like you are. It's because like that's what the quote of the movie. It's like, and like that dialogue, the kind of monologue the judge was giving.
Yeah,
you are a waste of a life of a smart person, like, and all this stuff. And I'm like, that's actually what, like, you,
yeah,
what Ted Bundy was. He was just this tortured person who was just purely evil. And there was, I feel like, in his case, there was no chance to save him.
Now, do you believe also that that evil is something, like he said, like, it just comes from, like, it was, there was something in him that was bigger than him? Or do you think people do that to themselves? Or how do you think that, because that's something weird that I think about, because obviously people are disturbed and people are mental. Yeah. And, like, you just wonder, are people really hearing these things, or is it an underlying, you know, like, personality disorder, or you know, mania? What is it, is what I'm wondering.
I personally think it's some kind of, like, genetic predisposition that gets, like, exasperated by certain environmental factors.
Really?
Often childhood abuse.
Yeah.
And then, like, also that kind of thing, like, issues with their moms, like, I don't know.
And having none of that get addressed by a professional who can kind of, like, either give proper diagnoses or help them walk through things or give them medication. So it kind of just festers and grows into something that's uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, obviously for a guy like Ted too, I think it was, he had, I mean, confidence in himself. He wasn't like,
narcissist.
I think sitting around like, he was not that narcissist.
Total narcissist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, cause I mean, he knew people liked the way that he looked. So he used it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so disgusting. But it's also like, you also wonder if there was some kind of, like, trauma that triggered this behavior too. You're like, then there's a lot of people to blame, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I just
know.
Remember
there's a lot,
like,
of things going on.
Yeah, I just remember last season we did an episode on Robert Hansen, who was this crazy serial killer who would, like, play the most dangerous game and, like, hunt, like, kidnap and then hunt people in the wild. And basically people researched into, like, why he was the way that he was, and that's kind of what they found. They were like, he was born, like, fucked up, but he was abused as a kid. Like, I don't remember if his dad was... No, his dad wasn't absent, but, like, his dad abused him. He had issues with his mom. I don't know. It was, like, a whole thing.
Ugh,
they had all these, terrible. Like, factors... Like, all these mitigating factors kind of created this perfect storm of evil.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's so crazy.
But anyway, all this is to say, like, all these gross, terrible, disgusting details are why, like, that movie really just pissed me off, to be honest.
Yeah. So then, yeah, you think it was a little too Hollywood.
Well, then also
I think it's just kind of irresponsible. And yeah, I totally understand that he was charming and everything like that. But, like, what good does that ultimately serve to make us sympathize with a serial killer?
That's like, we don't need like slow mos of him, like, getting undressed. we don't need to watch him have, like, so much sex type of situation. Like, there's a lot of parts where they're kind of like, ooh, we're going to make this movie juicy. And it's like, that's not what anyone... I mean, for the most part, I would assume no one's going into this movie to see that. They're more so, I feel like a lot of people are going in to see, like, all right, let's see this. I've heard about Ted Bundy. I've read some things.
I think it's, you want a little dramatization. Yeah. You want to see what you heard about.
Yeah.
And that's what, again, why it was a weird choice to not show this stuff. I mean, as sick as it is, I think it's like, you see the Ted Bundy thing, you're like, okay, let me just play this. Let me see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, then there does become a point when it becomes a little, like, gratuitous and murder porn, I think is what you use. And I get that. But I think at the same time, we are tuning into these and we're making multiple movies and things about serial killers because I think we kind of want to see the stuff.
Yeah. I just feel like there's, I mean, we all like fictionalized crime stuff. Like the OJ one was so good. I kind of thought it would be in that vein and it wasn't. And it's so weird because, like, for something that's based on Liz's memoir, like, she really wasn't in it very much.
Yeah. And also she visited set. I remember reading that and I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, and Lily Collins was like talking to her about the role and stuff like that. I'm like, you think she was, like, semi-involved or at least, like, known with the production? Like, they could have, like, asked her more things. Because I remember Lily Collins was doing an interview, because I had to read more about her after this. and she was saying that she was, like, it was insane that, like, meeting Liz face-to-face and kind of, like, talking with her. She wasn't, like, a producer or anything by any means.
Right.
But she was, like, coming to set, kind of making appearances. Kind
interesting.
Of
yeah.
I think it's important that we also talk about, since we're talking about how the movie kind of glorified everything, that we talk about Liz and Ted's actual relationship because it actually wasn't, while she said that he actually didn't he didn't lose his temper too often, their relationship was far from perfect. Yeah. Like they actually I think still, even in a calm tone, was pretty verbally abusive to her.
He strangled her, which is like the number one indicator that you're going to become a victim of fatal domestic violence is if you are strangled.
He also admitted when I think she asked him as it was coming down, I think when she called him and when he was incarcerated, if he ever tried to kill her. And he said, yes, he said, I did. This is before, obviously, we know from the character in the movie that she used to drink a lot and then she got sober. Yeah. So when she was drinking, she passed out by the fireplace and he closed the, what is it called? The dapper. He basically closed the thing where the smoke would would get released and then put towels under the door. So she woke up. She says she remembers waking up and coughing, but she didn't actually know what was going on because she had passed out from drinking. Mm. So that was the one time where he said that he actually did try to kill her by doing
that's
that.
Insane, yeah, because I feel like the movie just painted their relationship as sunshine and rainbows. And they're like, I don't know. It was so weird. He wanted to kill every other woman, but you're special. And I didn't buy that shit.
Yeah, no, and it was so weird in like the flashbacks at the end when she finally like sees him before he gets the chair.
Yeah.
Ooh. And it's like the flashbacks of like her, like them
was
when
there
having
a
sex,
pushing a, pushing on the swing or something like that. There's like always
and
those
and
montages.
Like the only difference, like it's his eyes being like like now we're like, oh yeah, we know he's evil, like her like life is like plagued with this, but throughout the film you just treated it like this like little love story happening in junction with this.
Well, Liz, I guess actually they said so Liz actually knew there was a lot of cues that she had already picked up on in real life, but in the movie version the director I think is quoted as saying he wanted the ending, he wanted it to feel a little bit more like this big reveal as opposed to like, he's like, if she already knew that he had a knife 5 minutes in, we're not going to care about what happens.
Right. He didn't want people to be like, you idiot, blah, 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 blah. But so, I was kind of like, well, you kind of, whatever.
Exactly. But so even though she knew, he decided to do different things in the movie to make us know that he's a bad guy. But like, spoiler alert, we already knew.
He was a bad guy.
But they were like, we're going to make the dog growl at him instead of like showing all these things.
Okay. That is an indicator.
Well, that was an indicator, but that was not a true thing. It was their way of saying that this is a clue, but it's like, we already knew that he did it.
Unnecessary dramatization. Like that's a fine thing for like, maybe in like, I feel like they'd be better set in like a romantic comedy where like the girl's dating a guy who no one likes and the dog is barking, but like
pees on his leg or something.
We just saw him like kill a woman. We don't need the dog to help solidify.
We're watching a movie about Ted Bundy. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like ultimately that choice didn't end up making sense because, okay, this is a spoiler, but basically the moment that Liz reveals that she was actually the one who tipped off police about Ted in the first place is supposed to be this huge shock. And like, okay, number one, I didn't know that before, but also
I didn't either.
But when you frame that as a twist, and you don't give anything leading up to it, then it's like it undermines the twist because obviously she knew.
She obviously knew something was up if
she's going to report him to police.
She did know. So there were actually a couple things that she had kind of suspected.
Tell us what.
So basically she was reading this thing and obviously the sketch looks like Ted. It's a Volkswagen Bug. So there's a couple things there where she was like, let me scratch my head on that. She also, as she was reading about what he was doing, she found a crutch. I guess in one of the victims, he used a crutch. She found plaster of Paris, which is what you use to make a cast. So she was reading that he was using the cast for that. She also, I read one thing that she found at his house, I guess before he lived with her, she found some women's underwear and a bowl full of keys. Bowl full of other people's keys. She also found like there was a crowbar and he had a hatchet. And she even said, I forget if it was in his house or in his car, but she's like, there was a knife and sometimes it was just there and sometimes it wasn't. So there were a lot of things that kind of would tip you off before before a dog barking. But again, like I said, it all kind of became this thing where in the movie they wanted to make a big thing, but the real
Liz
knew.
Would have been so much more interesting to like show how she would have been conflicted, like finding this out and then continuing to live with him after she had already kicked
child
out the cops.
Too. That's the thing that is so
crazy. Yeah, she's got a child in the house with him.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, like, I'm like, hey, like, you're doing a one night stand and you're sharing the bed with a dog. I'm like,
excuse me.
Maybe you need it. That's a weird thing. But then also to continue living, having this guy who you don't trust and you actually are reporting to be a killer, just straight up like hugging your kid, walking your kid, like
I will say though that like I think statistically you're most likely to get killed by your partner when you actually make it clear that you are leaving, so perhaps she stayed with him like out of self-preservation because she didn't want him to like
that's
figure
true.
Out that she was leaving.
That's true.
But I don't know.
That's, I mean, that's, yeah, that could be an added layer of, which is so, could you imagine being in that situation where you know that you're living with a killer, but you have to keep going along with like this weird facade and this lie because you're scared of
that
them?
That sounds like a great Netflix movie.
I know. We'll write it up for
I'm living
later.
With a killer. Yeah.
Living with a killer.
I'm right on top of that, Rose. Yeah. I got it. I'll write it. Another weird little just like a discrepancy that they had, just another thing that was like kind of a cute moment in the relationship is that he gives her this book called Papillon.
Mm-hmm.
Papillon. Thank you very much.
Papaya dog.
Papillon. And obviously the topic of the book is very, you know, it was more of this book being given was like a gift for the audience because the book is about a man who's incarcerated who dreams of escaping. And he's like, please read this. I love this book. And it was kind of to say, hey, he's going to do this later. But that there was no significance of that book.
This
in
isn't
her
Lady
memoir.
Bird. We don't need like little motifs. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't need this. Yeah. This is like a factual story. That's what I think got like so many issues up because it was like factual, but they scripted some parts of it to kind of like add an element of like the story that the director wanted to tell, when it's like you can't really do that with something that's like a real story with so much to already dig
from. I mean, the book didn't really add anything to me also.
No,
it was.
I didn't. I was just like, why are we speaking French now?
It was literally just something to be like, this is foreshadowing something. But it's like we already know. Like, you don't have to in a story that's already well known. Like, add in the weird, creepy things that we didn't know before. Like, add in that Liz turned him in, but add in all this like shit that she found. Like, that's what we want to see. But obviously, Liz ended up breaking up with him at some point. Mm-hmm.
But we didn't even talk about the biggest discrepancy, which is the end. Like, this is a huge spoiler. Can I say it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, the whole, like, I mean, first of all, he didn't confess to her, like, when they were doing the whole, like, between the glass in person appearance thing. Yeah. I'm blanking on words right now. It was apparently, like, over the phone, and he didn't actually tell her any specifics of the crime. No. It was mostly, like, I have a sickness.
Yeah.
And the way he described it in Liz's memoir was, like, a disease like your alcoholism. You can't take another drink, and with my sickness, there's something that I just can't be around. And namely the whole like hacksaw thing, was so dramatic and I loved it, but it never happened.
It's really, it was like on a Christmas story or whatever, when like Ralphie's like, it was soap poisoning. Like that was how dramatic they like, I was like, this is overdone because there's no way this really happened in my life.
But I kind of wondered at the end why he was like still skirting around the issue. I'm like, dude, you're getting executed tomorrow. Yeah.
Because
like, just confess over the phone. Who gives a fuck?
Because I think in real life, even though, because what I wanted to get into next was about Boone, the woman that eventually married
Carol.
Him. Yes, Carol Boone.
She was
But that I think that even though when he was married to Carol, he was still placing calls to to Liz. He still very much, I think, was and she was following his trial and stuff like that, but I think eventually she cut it off. But I think maybe that's maybe a little nod to his affection for her, why he still wouldn't
admit he was protecting her.
And also he was like, maybe that was like his like little escape world of
that's
like,
how I
like,
saw it.
Oh no, but like she doesn't know any of this. We're perfect together. This is that a happy family. His, why isn't she answering my calls? What's happening type of thing.
I kind of saw it as like him trying to outsmart the legal system one more time, because he was trying to use those confessions as leverage to get his execution like vacated or whatever. And I thought that he wouldn't want to admit it over the phone, because those jail recording, or like if you call someone in jail, it's recorded,
it's always recorded.
That's kind of how I viewed it, but your guys's is like more interesting.
We're lovers, you're fighters. Yeah. We're like, no, he loved her. You're like, he just wanted to get off the death penalty.
Yeah, he's like, no, he just didn't want to fucking die.
Yeah.
But eventually, he found love. So what I thought was the most interesting thing is, because when you see that scene where he proposes to this woman in a courtroom, you're like, bullshit.
But
that was the only discrepancy there, was that it happened, I think they said it happened in one place in Florida, but it really happened somewhere else. Like, it was at a different...
I'm fine with that.
Yes, yes. But they did say what was... the only other discrepancy is she got pregnant on a conjugal visit. She was not pregnant
before. That
makes
way more sense than like fucking behind a vending machine.
Yes.
Girl, you're not getting you know what I mean?
So that was the only thing. But I was like, this is true. That's true psychopath. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't already a serial killer and I saw somebody propose to somebody on the stand, I'd be like, this guy's a fucking serial killer.
I just loved how in the movie the judge was like, well, it's binding. Like, what can we do?
Oh my God.
It's just so wild. They were just kind of like, well.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a shockingly true part of this whole story.
So funny.
Yes.
I did like her. I mean, I didn't love her character, but I liked the portrayal of her character.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, Betty Giblin, I think, from Glow.
Maybe.
It was a girl. Yeah, no, she was really good.
Oh.
Yeah, I was so shocked. Yeah.
There we go. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Thought she looked familiar.
I know, because that's what I was like, I can't find this out. And I was like, what is going on here? But then I was like, oh, nice, yeah.
Okay, one other thing that I thought was interesting was, like, I think Ted Bundy's reputation is being, like, smart, charming, good-looking, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I feel like, how do you guys feel about, like, history's characterization of him? Because I think it's honestly a little bit overblown. I think Ted Bundy is, like, overhyped. First of all, he's not that hot.
No.
He's not. We talked about this. He's serial killer hot. He's not, like, real person hot. That is a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, like, I don't think he was actually that smart. Like, in the movie, it's so funny to watch him be like, objection, Your Honor, lawyer. And the judge be like, no, you can't do that, you idiot. Like, yeah. It's just so fucking funny. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he was... No, he thought he was smarter than he like actually was. I mean, granted, he got away with 100 murders, but also like a lot of it was because of police ineptitude.
Yeah. But I mean, I think at the time that's what you have to consider smart. You have to consider a guy that possibly killed 100 women, even though the better word is disgusting. I guess the word that you would use was this guy outsmarted people into this, you know?
Well, he's like a psychologically insane genius.
Yeah, I think it's more like emotional intelligence because, like, I mean, he didn't leave much evidence behind, but that's not hard in the 70s. Yeah. Like, what do you have to do? Not leave, like, a picture of yourself in a pool of your blood?
And also an easy, like, he
but
was...
But he was like, able to just, like, kind of talk his way out of things and, like, put forth this clean-cut image. Because
back then,
so
he was, like, a
cops.
White guy who's going to law school. Everyone... Right. Like, back then, now but I mean, we the know, cops, but everyone's yeah. like, oh, yeah. yeah, that's a great... That's the soul of the earth, yeah.
But, I mean, the cops, like, knew who he was for a while, but he was just able to kind of talk them out of suspecting him for a while. Yeah. Like, it's not like... It was a Zodiac killer where they're like, who is this person? Like, they knew it was him for like a long time.
And he drove a clown car.
So and he drove like, I don't know. That's just why I feel like he car. Like is a little bit overrated. Yeah, in that we view him too favorably, I think.
Who do you think is getting a bad rap murder wise? Who do you think we should make the new Ted Bundy?
Well, that's why I am loving it now that we are more so, I feel like our society is shifting to being more so obsessed with scammers, even though they are.
Yeah, because.
Yeah. But at least they're hard. I'm like, Anna Delvey didn't kill no one.
Not scammers like Bernie Madoff, because that sucks because he screwed like tons of people out of their retirement. But like Anna Delvey, like she didn't really hurt anyone.
Like if you're
getting
a kale salad for free, God bless, live in that live type of situation. But I know what you mean. It is such a weird thing where people are like, and get fascinated at such like a young age, to be like, oh my god, Ted Bundy. Like you start learning about him so young, and you're like, why are we teaching? Like, how does he even get taught?
Well, I think there is value in like, no, this is gonna sound so bad, but like not fucking trusting people and like strangers totally. And not falling for random ruses because like people back then, I guess, were just really trusting. But so I think there's value in that. But like overall, being like, oh, he was so hot and. All these like fucking Ted Bundy groupies. It's like, ugh, grow up.
I think also, I just wonder if that's, you know, how some people have a hobby. Like some people.
Like we research true crime. You know, totally normal. Yeah.
But I mean, I just wonder if there was nothing, you just wonder if there's just nothing exciting going on in these people's lives that they're, they just attach on to this idea of something of, you know, this guy that was presenting himself with such a, like this huge narcissist that was presenting himself as such this guy and that literally seduced a bunch of women to like help him and do this stuff.
Right.
So maybe it just becomes this weird fantasy. But there's a lot of
people are weird.
Sick, crazy people. Yeah.
Didn't Jodi Arias just get engaged in prison?
Uh-huh.
She did, right?
Yeah.
And
I think
she
still
hasn't had any conjugal visits with the guy, but she's
selling art. Someone DM'd us. She's got an art for sale. If you buy her art,
really?
Let's know. Yeah.
I also saw on Instagram someone had this shirt that was like all these serial killers' faces like collaged. And I'm just like, first of all, where the fuck are you wearing that?
That's like creepy.
And second of all, that's gross because when you think about the fact that like people died in these really horrific ways, like that's really
like there's
up.
One thing to wear like the Frank Sinatra mugshot or like the Elvis mugshot.
Right.
Or
Lindsay Lohan.
Lohan. But like to wear a Manson mugshot or to wear somebody that. Because
like you could
pass
someone on the street
Kim,
who
people
lost
died.
Someone to that. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I wonder how like the victims' families feel about all this stuff, because it's got to be really, really hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, victims' families tend to push up against this a little bit.
I mean, I'd be fucking pissed.
Well, because for them, it's just like emotional torture. Like they're just twisting a knife that their family's trying to move on from.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And it's not like they're getting anything from this movie.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, you think like Liz is fit? Like, does Liz
Well, they hardly even mention them too. Like, everyone was like, oh, it was so great that they mentioned the victims' names at the end. I'm like, they did it during the credits and it was a footnote. Like, that also just felt kind of disrespectful.
That felt
to
like
me.
They're like, oh, I guess we won't get I felt like it was like a lawyer coming like, do something so we don't get sued. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or just like so that there's not a huge blowback. Yeah.
But like,
know.
I do wonder if every time they make something like this about a serial killer, if any of the victims' families get anything. I mean, like, do they
That's
have
a good point.
Do they still have to get permission to use to even print these names? Or
That's
or
actually
is,
true.
You know what I mean? Or are the names just public? But like, I do wonder if they like get some kind of compensation
or for,
every
or
time
for
they
some,
do
right.
these things like, or no matter how much money you know Netflix
or
makes
like the one girl at the end how they kind of fictionalized her last moments. I would hope
I was gonna think that yeah
like yeah I would likeness, really hope that yeah. they would do something for that family
if you know if you are a lawyer does anybody know this stuff? I know we talked about it before because we were wondering about the Anna Delvey if she got anything from her movie stuff like
well
you're well,
she was just sentenced.
I know.
What did she end up getting sentenced with?
40?
No. I don't remember, actually.
40?
Well, she... Not 40.
Oh, I was like, 40 is a lot for Macaulay Culkin dinner.
Oh, my God. Never forget. No, I don't know, but she was recently found guilty despite her little, like, fucking lingerie white dress with the choker.
Yeah, 4 to 12 years.
Four to twelve. Yeah. Whatever. She loves prison.
But now she's on Wikipedia, so that's probably so happy. I feel like, genuinely, that's her life goal. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if anybody knows the answer to this, if during all these serial things, I mean, this is for any of them. There's so many true crime stuff, so many true crime things out right now that I really am just wondering if the victims' families get anything. So if you know, will you let us know? DM us or...
Should we start donating to everyone we've talked about?
We can find stuff.
I think we should.
We should put a link up. Yeah, if you guys... I mean... It's only fair. We're kind of also...
We're part of the problem.
We're part of the problem.
But if you're a lawyer, help us find a solution.
Yes. If you're a lawyer and you know the answer to these questions, let's start a victim's family movie fund.
Yeah, because I mean, when we like... I feel like so many people DM'd us about this documentary. Not documentary, but like this movie.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's more... Yeah, I'm curious to see if there's any movies we might not know about that aren't like docu-style, because this was kind of that, but also directed like situation like... So we can kind of like unpack them to be like, what is really going on here? Like, what is true? What's false from it type of thing.
That's a good one. Yeah, definitely DM us. You can do that at NATCpod or you can email NATC@Betches.com. No one's really ever done that, but you guys can be the first.
Be the first email. It's not do scary, kids.
It's fun.
It's as direct as Instagram messaging.
Yes.
It's seriously the same. You just click. Don't you? Or maybe there's one other step. Oh, you have to write a title.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't even have to.
And actually, no, Gmail like finishes the sentence for you.
Yeah, that's really creepy.
I know.
I hate that they do that.
That's serial killer behavior.
Yes.
Oh, Gmail will
Gmail
murder us all.
Gmail is out to get
absolutely.
Us.
And also our Alexas will too.
Our Alexas will murder.
Yeah. Oh,
they
yeah.
Really will.
Alexa even sounds like the name of a murderer.
Right.
Like, Alexa. Oh, yeah. I just hated the way people said that. So I started killing people. So on that note, are we, what else?
Yeah, so if you guys are still listening to this, first off, congrats. Second of all, please rate, review, subscribe wherever you're listening.
Yes. DM us, say hello, follow us.
Also, join the Not Another True Crime group on Facebook. We're getting new members every day, so it's really fun, but we definitely want it to be like more active. So post how you felt about the episode, post your hot takes. Do you think Ted Bundy was overrated? Tell us in the Facebook group. Again, that's Not Another True Crime group. And you can follow us on Instagram. I'm Sarah F. Carter.
I'm Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K.
I'm Case Face B, Case with a C.
And also please DM us your sign-offs. What we like to do each week is do a sign-off suggestion from one of the fans. We'll give you a shout-out to your handle. I forgot to put up a call this week, so I'm just going to go with something we said earlier in the episode that I thought was funny. And it's murder so hot right now.
Betches.